This Mixed Sunday Morning podcast is presented by Robo Motors in Sylacauga, Alabama. Well known for quality pre-owned automobiles, RVs, boats, and motorcycles, and by Sylacauga Handicapped, the area's premier source of handicapped mobility and motoring equipment. Listen to the full show from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sundays on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, and the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. Every week, we feature encouraging stories and have a great conversation with guests about their faith. Welcome to Mixed Sunday Morning for the week of September 22nd, 2024. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Joining me this week, and I know it's cliche, you guys probably think I say it every week, but I'm just blown away what God is doing with this show. And once again, another, and don't look at me funny when I say this, brother, another child of God. You know,
amen.
That's here, that's been called to be on this show. And it, like I've always said, it's not about me. I know it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do through us. So I'm honored to have Mr. Taylor Armstrong on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor to be here. So my name is Taylor Armstrong. I'm a Christian musician, but more importantly, I am a husband. I'm a father of four beautiful kids. And and I'm a prodigal son. I'm a heroin addict that's recovered. I'm a sinner that needs grace. And just get into the story. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Because right there in about 1 minute, you threw a lot at us.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So I grew up in Orange County, California. Beautiful area, vibrant music scene. And right around high school, man, I started really getting into like the punk rock and the hardcore music that was coming out of that area. Huge metalhead, dude. I've always liked aggressive music for some reason. And I found myself going to those shows. Found myself in a band that we got signed. I think it was about 19. And dude, we did it. It was a hard rock metal band. I toured from like 19 to 25. Signed to Warner, got to do some epic, huge tours. And somewhere in there, dude, I started going from the normal amount of drinking and partying that a dude will do in a band, if that's such a thing. To a little harder stuff. It started with painkillers. And then it culminates, dude. And I've told this story before, but I was in Detroit at this place called The Shelter, which is this little venue in Detroit. And I was feeling really sick and I didn't know why. And a lady, and I don't know if she worked there or not, was like, oh, well, she started asking me about my using habits. And I told her I was using painkillers and all this stuff. And she's like, oh, well, you're dope sick, honey. And I was like, no, I'm not a drug addict. I just take painkillers. She's like, no, it's the same thing. Painkillers are an opiate. And so is heroin. I know where to get heroin if you got $20. And I was like, yeah, it's going to make me feel better because I don't feel good. And so that started, you know, the heroin use, started smoking it. I eventually went to shooting it. And man, I look back on that, dude. And ever since a young age, man, I had an awesome upbringing. I had amazing parents, dude, who did almost everything right. But I just, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like who was looking back at me. And I never felt comfortable in my own skin. Liquor, alcohol, it just gave me this escape. And this release that I so desperately wanted, just to stop worrying about what people thought about me, stop worrying about if I was, you know, cool or whatever it is, dude, that I was worried about. And it really, man, and I say this, and I only say this to explain like how it felt for me, but it in those times, it felt like God came down and just scooped me up, and I felt warm and I felt okay. Now I know now that that wasn't God. It was the opposite of God, right? But that's what I was looking for, man. I was just looking to feel okay. And that led me down a brutal path, man, which eventually led in me having to quit that band or breaking up that band, because I couldn't go out on the road. It was too hard to get drugs, and I just wanted to stay home and use. And that led me into jails and institutions and rehabs and court ordered mandated things. And I didn't get sober, and I had bouts, right, of sobriety. And I had told myself that you can't do music if you're not using drugs. Like, to me, they were going hand in hand, which is a lie, right, from Satan. But at the time, I couldn't figure out how to do them both. Every time I would try to do music again, drugs would slide back in. So I just sort of put music aside. And in that time, dude, I met my wife. I learned a trade, which was barbering. I figured out a life outside of music. And it wasn't until I was married, I had a 6-month-old son, and my wife was pregnant with my daughter. And I was using drugs again. I'd found myself using painkillers again. I was lying. I was stealing money. And my wife showed me this video, man, of and I might get emotional, dude, and I apologize if I do, but she showed me a video of me putting my son to bed one night, and I was singing to him, and I was high, and I had fallen asleep face down in his crib while trying to sing to him. And she showed that to me, and a few weeks later, it basically just came to a head where she said, "Hey, I love you, but like, we can't keep doing this. And if you can't get sober, I'm done." And for whatever reason, dude, praise God, but that was the thing that clicked in my head where I was like, "Okay, I got to figure this out." Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any money for rehab. I didn't have, I had nothing, bro. So I called my buddy Joey, who I knew was sober. He said, "Hey, bro, you can come kick cold turkey on my couch, and I'll watch you, and I'll make sure you don't use drugs, and I'll go through your car and get all the drugs and out of, you know," just was like such a homie, dude. And I did it, bro. And it'll be 10 years, complete sobriety outside of, you know, nicotine and caffeine, December 29th. So I'll have 10 years.
Amen.
Yeah, and praise God, man.
Yes.
And upon getting sober again, I dug back into a relationship with Jesus, which, like, come to find out, was the big thing that I was missing, right? Mm-hmm. It was like I had this cross-sized hole in my soul that I was trying to fill with heroin and you name it, bro. I was trying to fill it with it, right? And it never worked. And then I got sober, man. I remember being a few weeks sober, and I went and met with this lady, and we prayed through some of these spiritual strongholds that I had in my life, and almost like cleaning house, right? We went, you know, metaphorically went through each room and just sort of cleared it out, all the shame and the pain and the anger and the whatever. And I had my first real moment, bro, where I felt like Jesus came and sat down next to me and said, "Hey, bro, it's been rough, man. I'm gonna give you a little break. Welcome home." And my relationship has never been the same with him, man. It's just been, you know, it ebbs and flows. It's not all mountaintop experiences, you know.
Not for any of us, it's not.
No, exactly. And but man, it's been a beautiful ride, man, and I've gotten through some crazy life circumstances with Jesus and community that I would have for sure turned to drugs to. You know, I lost my mom to cancer 3 years ago. You know, she's on her deathbed, and she's surrounded by every painkiller under the sun, right? And I remember sitting there going, "This is so gnarly and this is so heavy, but I'm so freaking glad, dude, that I can be here and be present and sober, and I'm not trying to figure out, like, hey, when the nurse leaves, how am I going to steal those paintings? Because that's like the type of person I was, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, dude, fast forward. I owned a salon in California. Music I put to the side. I was never going to do it again. Certainly not Christian music, because I had never listened to Christian music, really. I grew up in the church, right? But it was never for me, or so I thought, right? I had never given it a chance. I had never done a deep dive mm-hmm. on Christian music, right? It was just whatever my parents were listening to in the car, and I was like, nah, it's lame. So I started listening to Christian. Sweet.
There we go.
I started listening to, you know, Maverick City, Elevation, Brandon Lake, Phil Wickham, Ben Fuller, Zach Williams, all these. And I was just blown away at how good the music is. And so I really, man, it really started to be the only thing I was listening to. And God started just working on me incrementally, man, where he was like, I felt like I was being called to do music for the Lord specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that meant. And I didn't know what that meant. So I just did the next indicated step. I volunteered to sing at my church and worship. And that was an experience in and of itself, having never done it. And it was beautiful. And it was one of those things where I was like, man, why haven't I done this before? And I was, my wife and I were talking over leaving California, just because we wanted, you know, there's so many reasons, and I'm sure I don't have to explain them to you, but we wanted to get out of California.
I could imagine.
As Christians who believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, there was a lot of things going on in California that we were just like, what the heck, man? Mm-hmm. So we were talking through that. And I would go on these walks at night where I was listening to worship. And I remember, bro, I just prayed one night. I was like, hey, God, like, if you want me to do music, like more than I'm doing now, like write music for you, and for the kingdom, you got to let me know. Cause like, I'm an idiot and I'm not going to like, I need a burning bush, dude. Mm-hmm. I need to put my finger through the scars in your hands. And dude, I was walking up this hill and this white owl came out of these bushes, like right in front of my face, dude, and flew up the path. And I was like, whoa, dude, you know, like that was it. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, I'm Googling, are white owls indigenous to the area? Like I'm trying to write it off, right? Like it was like, that wasn't it. So the next night, I prayed the same prayer and I didn't tell anyone about the first night. I just kept it to myself. And in that same spot where I was walking, there was a coyote, and the coyote was sitting down and he was looking at me. And, you guys got coyotes in Alabama, I'm sure, right? They don't sit very often. No, they're movers, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And they're pack animals. So you don't see them alone a lot. So I was like tripping out on that. And so I was like, you know what, God, like maybe this is a sign. And I texted my wife, and my wife texted me back. She's like, look at this verse that I'm reading right now. And the verse was in Isaiah. And I'm forgetting the exact verse, but it was, do you not perceive it? For I am doing something new, for I have dominion over the owls and the jackals.
Wow.
And I didn't know what a jackal was. So I looked it up and it's essentially a coyote of the desert. Right.
Wow.
And, dude, that was it. Like I have chills just talking about it now. And I was wrecked to use the terminology, man. And
well, it was your sign. So you asked for it.
I did, man. And I was just so, and you might have felt like this before, I was so blown away that the author of the universe would take time out of his infinitely insane and busy schedule, right, to like come give me a sign, like Taylor the ex-drug addict, like the prodigal son, like it just, I couldn't comprehend it, dude. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind. And it was just one of those things, man, that again, it was just like, we serve a loving, personal, loving, like just, we serve an amazing God, man. And, So ever since then, dude, I started pursuing it, and I just, you know, I found a dude, Sam, that lives in Tennessee, Sam Hart, who I've been making music with. I didn't have any connections, bro. I had a ton of connections in the hard rock metal world, and I would hit them up and be like, hey, do you know, does this label have a Christian side of it? And they're like, bro, I have no idea. Right. So like, that was a very like quick sign that God was like, you're not going to be able to lean on your own understanding for this one. You're going to need to completely trust me. And you don't know anyone in this industry. And I know that might feel daunting, but it's a good thing, because I'm going to bring people in your life specifically for you that are good. And he has, man. Like, Sam was a big dude that I started, the first dude that I ever made Christian music with, man. And I'm still doing it with him today. And it's really, bro, it's like, my goal is to full send this thing and to be able to do it as a full-time ministry and job. But I don't know what the Lord's going to do with it, right? He told me, Taylor, go make music for the kingdom. He didn't tell me, Taylor, go make music for the kingdom and I'll make you wealthy. And I, you know, mm-hmm. And that's cool, man. I'm just like, hey, this is what, like, I'm making music for you, Lord. Let it reach who it's supposed to reach. And we'll see what happens, man. And so far he's blown me away. So
that's right. A day at a time and walk in faith.
Amen, dude. Yes. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be right back with Taylor Armstrong right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. Joining me this week, Mr. Taylor Armstrong. Taylor, wow. That's all I can say, man. What a testimony. What a testimony in how God has been, he's been gracious to you. He's been guiding to you, and he's been loving to you. And when I say loving, I told you really quick in between in the break, I was going to pull something out of that first segment, and there was a kind of a common theme in that first segment, and it was your wife. And I love mm-hmm. I love talking about a family that stands for the Lord, because it takes that team. So we're going to give her a little bit of time. When did mm-hmm. you, because I see God used her in a unique way in your life. How did y'all meet?
Man, so I was living, I went up to LA. I had got out of, I had gotten out of jail, and I had fulfilled my rehab and sober living. And, I knew that I couldn't do music. So I was sort of just like, man, what can I do? I have these tattoos. I didn't know at the time what was going to be on my record or not. And I was worried, you know, certain jobs won't hire you if you got, certain stuff on your record, and rightfully so. So I was just trying to figure it out. And I said, I'll go up to LA and I'll get a license and I'll learn how to cut hair. So I moved up there, man. And, we knew each other. She had actually gone to my church down in Orange County mm-hmm. for a long time, and we had never met, which is crazy because she's beautiful. I swear if I would have seen her, I would have remembered her. But we hadn't met to either of our recollection. And so back in the old days of Facebook, and it might still do this, I haven't used Facebook in a long time, but it would show you like who you knew that the other person knew. Mm-hmm. And my buddy was like, hey bro, I was at this get together, whatever. And this chick Tessa. And so I literally, dude, like a creep, went on Facebook and mm-hmm. was like, you know, and I hit her up and I was like, hey, something to the effect of, we know the same people, like we should hang out, something super lame that if I could go back, I would totally do it differently. And then nothing for, you know, weeks. So I just was sort of like, well, shot, you know, you shoot your shot, I missed, it's all good. And she hit me back, dude. And she's like, hey, she's so sweet, bro. She was like, hey, I didn't see this. I would love to hang out. It looks like we know some of the same people. So we just met at a friend's birthday party, dude. And I would say it was pretty much as close to like love at first sight as possible, right? And yeah, man, we just started hanging out. We started dating. We eventually both independently moved back down to Orange County, and She's a saint, dude. And she was at college at Pepperdine for getting her license in therapy. She's a MFT, a marriage and family therapist. And I just think God knew the type of woman I needed. And I think God knew the type of guy that she needed. And her ability, and she says this now because, people ask, like, because I was still struggling, dude, mm-hmm. during these times of us dating. I didn't want to be a drug addict. I hadn't resigned myself to just a lifetime of drug addiction. But I kept going back to the poisoned well, right? I kept, I'd have stints of I was doing well and I'd fall back. And she says that she was able to see that there was a really good guy there, despite some of these other things, right?
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, bro. And I don't get it, dude. I was so undeserving. And if I was her, I would have never hung out with me, but like,
what's the
for
Lord?
Whatever reason.
I mean, it's all dude. The Lord. It's his, I've had the blessing of being able to officiate some weddings and mm-hmm. I call it one of the, it's a God intersection of life because that's two people that, from the womb, God knows, and there's nothing on this world that can keep that intersection from happening. It's a crash yeah. collision. No matter how different Amen. We are, what it is, and it's really, man, I love that. I love that story. I love how, you said yes. She was perfect for you, even as different as I could. Probably see that the two of you were that, you, mm-hmm. that she was perfect for you and you were perfect for her. And man, and God's done an amazing thing. I can already see it. And, four children.
Yeah. Four kids, man.
It's pretty cool. So when we come back, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back with Taylor Armstrong right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. Joining me this week, Mr. Taylor Armstrong. Taylor, you've allowed me to dig in your life, and then some things you've just thrown right at me this morning already. we got to hear a lot about the struggles in your life. We got to hear about the redemption part of that story, which I find just totally awesome. We got to talk about your wife. You have four, I'm sure, absolutely beautiful kids. What does it mean to you to be a godly husband and to be a godly father?
Man, that is probably, not probably, that is the most important call I think a man can have on their life. And it has been, it's not always perfect. And I fall short all the time, but, first and foremost, being a loving and, supportive and honest husband to my wife, and then seeing it mirrored back and returned in her own way, I wouldn't be here without it, man. She's my best friend. She's the love of my life and I can't imagine life without her. And so it's an honor to be with her, man, and love her like Christ loves the church, right?
Right.
As far as being a dad, I had a great dad. I have a great dad. And that was actually probably the biggest thing that I think hit me when my wife said so many years ago, like, if you can't get sober, I'm done, is that I had such a great example of a dad in my earthly father and then also in Christ. And so, like I said, dude, I fall short all the time, but man, I love those kids more than anything on this earth. And trying to raise them up right, raise them up so that they know who Jesus is from a young age. And then trying my darndest to emulate that same kind of love to them mm-hmm. is it's such a worthy journey. And like I said, I fall short, but man, we get it right. I feel like more than we get it wrong. And I love it, bro. I love it. It's the best thing I've ever done with my life. You know, I've told that so many people. I was like, you know, if I never do another thing in my life, but I can be a good husband and I can raise those kids up so that they know that I love them and that Jesus loves them, I'm good, bro. You can bury me tomorrow. Like, I'd like to live longer, but you can't, you know, it is what it is, right?
That's right.
Like, that's a worthy life, dude. That's a life well lived.
And it's true. And I know he has equipped you with your children, because when they walk outside the door of your house, they go, what I call, into the world of okay, where, you know, mm-hmm. everything is okay. And we know it's not, but at every angle they're hit with this, that everything's okay. And so mm-hmm. they have to come back home and got to kind of plug them back in again. And because when they're just getting hit, it's unreal what they're getting hit with now, and what they see on TV, their shows, the okay part of the world is thrown into every facet of their life.
It's crazy, man. And I'm sure every parent says this, but it feels like it's there's more of an intentional kind of like attack on our youth today than there was for me growing up. Just as far as the things that they can watch and stuff that's geared towards them, that just in no way should be geared towards children. And yeah, bro, keeping your kids safe is a full-time job just in that, right? Making sure you know what they're watching, you know, making sure what's going on, what their friends are talking about, what's going on at school. We're blessed, dude. We have our kids in a Christian school right now, and it's been the best thing ever. But even in a Christian school, man, things happen, right? It doesn't, you know, people are people, humans are humans. So yeah, man. And that's something that, you know, that can cause a lot of anxiety, man, worrying about like what is going on when I'm not there. Because yeah, man, the world is insane right now. And it just seems like there's such an attack on the youth, not just little kids, but like teenagers, young adults, like. And maybe that was there when I was a kid, man. I don't know. It probably was. It just didn't feel like as heavy as it is now.
That's a good word. Yeah. Cause it is, it's heavy now. It is.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Satan's on the prowl. And, but again, what I say, he only has power if we give him the choice. You know, we have to make that choice to give him power. But when the world out there is serving up all of these opportunities that you get to choose, we just got to pray for our kids. Like you said, pray for the kids, pray for and to realize, like I had to realize, I'm a father of four kids. And I had to realize that, you know, when I would stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning to make sure they came home, and I had to finally realize that, God, they're really not mine. They're yours. And, mm-hmm. and the biggest thing that I can do is give them to you.
Yep.
You know, and not worry that they are in your hands, Lord.
Amen.
So it is. It's tough to be it's tough to be a dad, but thank goodness we have a God that showed us the love to show our kids, and a God that protects us. And he protects our kids.
Amen. And I think too, like a big thing is just like taking an active role, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's okay to like take an active role. Make sure you know what your kids are doing. Make sure, you know what they're watching, you know what they're talking about. It may not be fun, or it might not be the cool parent thing to do, but that's your calling as a parent is to guide your kids in the way of the Lord and know what's going on.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be right back with Mr. Taylor Armstrong right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. Joining me this morning, I think he's just taking the show over, because everybody's probably saying, shut up, Greg, and let's get back to Taylor Armstrong, because he is, man, you have been a blessing. And I know I'm a simple person, but when I say things like that, they carry a lot of weight.
Thank you, bro.
You are a true blessing.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man.
And we've talked about, man, we've unzipped your life, and we've talked about a lot of it. And we talked about when you when you take all of that away, it's our relationship with God. And in that relationship with the Lord, he's given us an instructional book. And it's funny how we're drawn to it. It's funny how in seasons of life, we run to it. And I know I've opened the Bible up, just opened it up. You know, I don't do that thing, Lord, I'm just going to open the Bible and hear, but I've just opened it up and man, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Mm.
So, you know, I was in 1 Kings this week, and it spoke a lot to me. So I would like, I'd like for Taylor, for you to share either a verse or part of the Bible that's meant a lot to you in this season of life, or one that's has stuck with you through the seasons.
Yeah. And we were talking on the break, man, and I was saying, I've had a lot of life verses, right? Like the life verse for Taylor 15 years ago, who's struggling to stay sober and just pull his life together, is a different life verse than it is today for me. And I was sharing too in the break, man, like there was a week there last week where I was just sort of looking and asking God, what am I doing, man? Am I doing the right thing? Did you really call me to do this music thing? Cause it seems crazy. And guess what? I wasn't in the Word when all that was happening. Right. So it's like, and my wife was so great. She's like, are you reading the Bible? I was like, no, that's probably, you know, that's probably issue number one. But our pastor in church today, at the church we go to, Conduit in Franklin, he just shared the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And it really just like zoomed it down for me perfectly. Cause I'm worried about like streams and how many people like this song, and am I doing the right? Should I change the type of Instagram? Just such stupid stuff, right? In the grand scheme of God's call in our life. And this verse in Matthew, man, the Great Commission verse, it's a famous verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And dude, that hit me so hard today at church, because I just felt like it was God almost just slapping me and going, that's it, dude. That's it. That's what you're supposed to do. And stop worrying about the rest of it. Like, get out there, share my name, and go and make disciples, and I'll be with you. And teach them what you know, and teach them what you've learned. And that's it, dude. Like, that's it. All the other crap doesn't matter, right? It does, because we're humans and we're weak, and we need things, right? But man, that was such a great verse for me to hear, because it's called the Great Commission, right? It's literally like, hey, this is what I want you to do. And for me, who's trying to make music a ministry to reach lost and broken people, or just people in general who need the Lord, or who already love the Lord and just need to hear stories about grace and redemption, like that's all I'm supposed to do. It don't matter how many streams it gets, doesn't matter how many people like it. I need to make the main thing the main thing, and that is the main thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to share Jesus, be a good representation of him, love people. And bro, it made me right-sized, because, you know, my ego and the flesh for me is weak some days, bro. And I'm a baby, and I needed God to just slap me, bro, and be like, hey, man, this is it. This is all you got to worry about. So that I would say, bro, that's on my banner right now, bro. If I'm riding into battle, that's what's flying on the flag.
And the best right part now about that verse, what I love is that he will be with us.
Yeah, even to the end of the age.
We got to go. You know, we have to go. But if he is with us, then, you know, I truly believe anything can be done. I do.
Amen.
You know, they say a mustard seed can, the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Can it? I'm not going to say it can't, because we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
And I know what he's done in my life. I know the burning bush, several burning bushes that I was allowed to see, because I'm that type of person too. I have to see it. And,
yes,
you know, people may not understand it, but man, God is good. And if he is with us, then who can be against us when we go out in that great commission? And like you said, the human part of us wants to go and look and say how many people liked our post, you know, like how many people are watching the stream, go on YouTube, how many views did I get on this video? But God has us, brother. And I know he has you.
Amen.
He has you.
Thank you, bro.
And I can't wait.
I appreciate that.
I can't wait to see in that commission that he's called you to be. I can't see to where he takes you. Because I heard earlier where the world took you.
You know,
you rocked out all over this country. But I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life in this country. And who knows, as crazy as it is, man, you have reached people in this interview. You will never, I'll never know, because I don't care about numbers. But I know that people will be touched, and you have glorified the kingdom, and have helped them in a time of their life where they needed to hear it. So thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. God is good, bro. It's all him, right?
He is. Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, I didn't ask you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd love to be able to play a song on the show.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we haven't really talked about your music yet. So let's talk about the song that you would like to be played. And then after that, we'll get you to intro it, and we'll just fade you right into the song.
There we go.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back with Taylor Armstrong right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. Thank you for joining, whether you're listening on the airwaves of Alabama's Best Mix, Mix 106.5, or if you're on the podcast, we thank you for tuning in. You can get the podcast on our Radio Alabama app, or you can go out on Spotify and look it up under Mix Sunday Morning. Well, I've enjoyed the show today with a very special guest, Mr. Taylor Armstrong. And this is the part that I love. I love learn everything we've learned about you, Taylor, you and your family. But you've got some awesome music, man. You have an amazing, God has gifted you with an amazing voice. And so I asked if you pick a song, if you'd like for us to play a song here on the show. So what song is it, and what inspired you to write the song?
Man, I think based on just the way the interview went today, I think it would probably be Paradise. And Paradise was the first song that I put out as a Christian artist. And on, you know, all the streaming sites, it's actually Taylor Holland Armstrong, because there's another Taylor Armstrong that makes Christian music that's awesome too. So Taylor Holland Armstrong. But yeah, dude, I wrote this song about the thief on the cross. And that's the initial lyrics, right? You know, there were three crosses on a hillside. There were two men destined for hell. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, just one thief begging forgiveness. He had no chance of saving himself. And I have always identified so much with those stories in the Bible, whether it's like the prodigal son or or whoever, because I needed grace, bro. And I felt like I was the thief on the cross, man. In my final hour, what seemed like my final hour, just turning and going, you know, I want to be with you in paradise, right? I want to, and dude, it's an emotional song for me, man, because I was really worried about releasing it, because there's some lyrics in the second verse where I talk about, it was day three locked up in county. I was 2 days into withdrawal. And I remember writing the song with Sam, and Sam was like, bro, I love the honesty, but I just don't know if those lyrics are going to go over well with a Christian audience. Mm. And I remember thinking like, dude, if I can tell this story in a way that I'm not glorifying that, right? Mm-hmm. But it is part of the story.
Yes.
So I got to include it. And as long as we're not glorifying it, or as long as I'm not trying to make it sound cool, because it's not, it's the opposite of cool. It's terrible. I think that it can work. And we kept it in there, man, and we released it. And it far and away has done better than my other songs, but it's a special one to me, man. And if it was like, hey, play a song to introduce people to who your music is, it would be that one, dude, because it's all my songs are pretty introspective, and I try to be brutally honest, but that one just stands out, dude, because it was the first one. And it was an act of faith, bro, to put those lyrics in there, because I didn't know, right, how that would be. I didn't know how that'd be received, right? But I think it was received pretty well, dude. And I'm just telling a story about a sinner who doesn't deserve anything, who God decided to give him grace. And that's me, and that's you, and that's everyone listening to this, right? Mm-hmm. To some degree, we've strayed from the path. So, yeah, bro. And then it's got this great bridge in the end, which is, I tried to make sort of like this throwback kind of gospel-y hallelujah thing, dude. And it's just, I'm super proud of it, bro. I'm thankful that God put those melodies in my head. And I'm thankful for Sam Hart, who helped me sort of craft that thing together.
Well, all right, brother, why don't you just intro the song and we'll get it playing.
Hey, this is Taylor Holland Armstrong. You're about to listen to my song Paradise. Thank you guys for tuning in.
On a hillside, there were two men destined for hell. There was one thief asking forgiveness. He had no chance of saving himself, saving himself. Was day three locked up in county, and I was 2 days into withdrawal, but I said one prayer begging for mercy. I got no chance of saving myself, saving myself. Your blood to give me life, Jesus, you.
That's Taylor Holland Armstrong, Paradise, right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you again for all the kind comments about the show, because I love this part of it, because it's not me. That's what I love saying. It is not me. It's the Lord. It's His show. And I sit back in amazement at what He does in it. And again, I'm sitting in this seat amazed at my guest this week. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Miss Abby Dixon, her calling, her scripture, her music, everything about her. Abby, you're amazing. Mm. You are like I said, I know you're a gift to your parents, but I see already you're a gift to me. You're a gift to our guest.
Mm, and thank you so much.
And we just got a little snippet here on this show, but we're going to get you in on other things that people will really get to know you.
Yes. So excited. Thank you so much for having me. This is so encouraging.
Well, before we close it up, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Again, I don't deserve this. I really don't, Lord. You bless this show week after week. And again today, Heavenly Father, in the midst of a schedule change, you bring Abby to the show. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for being the director of all this. God, I ask you to be with Abby. Lord, in a time in her life where she may not know which path to go, but God, I know you do. So light the lantern to that path, Lord, and guide her to that door. Lord, put a hedge of protection around her. Send angels to watch after her. Lord, I ask that you be with her parents as they go out as missionaries to sometimes uncharted places, uncharted areas. Bless Abby's music. Bless her life, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Miss Abby. Thank you for coming on the show. I hope I did justice to you today.
Oh my gosh. Oh, thank you for having me. This has been so lovely.
Well, how can people, now that they know all about you, how can they connect with you?
The main way and the best way is probably Instagram, which is _AbbyDixon. Super easy to find me, ABBYDIXON. And that's where I'll keep most of my updates and all the things are happening there.
All right. Well, what do you have? What's on the agenda? Are you playing anywhere? Are you?
Yeah. On October 15th, I'll be playing at Just Love Cafe in Spring Hill, Tennessee for what's called the In Common Writers Round. I'm super excited about that. And tickets for that are in my Instagram bio. And yeah, there might be a single or two coming out before the end of the year that I can't quite say anything else about yet. But.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's like going fishing and dingling a little worm out front.
Right. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be super fun.
Well, Abby, have a great day. And I can't wait for everybody to hear this. And if you missed the show and you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you for finding the podcast. It's out on Spotify. It's out on our Radio Alabama app you can download. Because you get to listen to wonderful people like Miss Abby.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're not strangers anymore. We'll be in touch. And like you said before, it's just getting started.
Amen. Sounds good.
All right. God bless you, Miss Abby.
Thank you. You too.
It's Mix Sunday Morning. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, or the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. I'm Greg Wyckoff, and this program is a product of Radio Alabama.